Welcome to College Crosscast. I'm Ryan McDonald. Tonight we have a special edition of the podcast as Save Chris and I are joined by Cleveland State head coach Dylan Sheridan. The Vikings begin their D1 journey this weekend against Michigan in a nationally televised game on LAC Sports Network. Cleveland State will be facing some of the biggest names in the sport along the way, including Denver, Duke, Virginia, and a huge in-state game with Ohio State later on in the season. Coach Sheridan came to Cleveland after successful stints at Denver and Princeton as an assistant coach, and will now lead the Vikings in their inaugural year. And for him, it's not just any coaching job, it's all about building a program from the ground up. Here is our talk with Coach Sheridan as we get his thoughts on the upcoming season. All right, thanks so much for joining us, Coach Sheridan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for the opportunity.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. This is so much, so exciting. We really appreciate it.
First of all, congratulations on the upcoming first season, the first game for your program. We've heard a lot of great things about Cleveland State so far, and hopefully a lot of great things come out of it. Just want to get your decision. Why you decided on Cleveland State?
That's a great question. You know, I was just actually chatting with a good friend of mine, and he asked me the same thing. You know, there's a lot of reasons. For me, I think probably first and foremost, what got my attention on the opportunity was the location. I'm a Cleveland guy. I went to high school in this area. I started playing lacrosse as a ninth grader at Western Reserve Academy. And, you know, unfortunately, the game is it's kind of taken a step backwards, in my opinion. You know, in a positive note, it's growing. There's more kids playing now than ever in Northeast Ohio. It's become state-sanctioned this year. This season will be the first year it's sanctioned. But the overall competition level is down. And I thought, you know, a Division I program coming to Cleveland is just going to help so, so much. Kids will have the ability to go to games. They'll be able to watch elite-level players. And they'll have something to aspire to, whether it's to come to Cleveland State or to go to the schools that Cleveland State's playing. It's just – it's different when you can see it and touch it and feel it. And that excited me. And, you know, when I came to look at the position – I was enamored with the kind of trajectory of the university, the city, and we have an AD here that unfortunately is retiring, but you know he's a very staunch supporter of the game. So there was a lot of factors that went into it, but for me it was an opportunity to build something from the ground up with my name on it and fingerprints on it in a city that I already know and love, and at a university that I feel is going in a really, really positive direction.
Yeah, when we were doing our research before the pod, I saw, you know, you're a three-time state champion. Did you get into lacrosse before you other sports? I know you also played a little football in your time in college at Claremont.
Right, yeah. I was a football guy. I football, basketball, and then I got to high school, and they kind of demanded at the boarding school I went to that you play three sports. And so naturally, I tried baseball. So I'm playing baseball in Northeast Ohio, which, you know, all due respect, there's great baseball here, but the weather is not so great and it's unpredictable. And I think the first three or four games of my, fledgling baseball career, we were rained out, and I got the chance to see my first lacrosse game and pretty much put the mitt down and picked up a stick as soon as I could after that and kind of caught the bug and really haven't put the stick down since.
Oh, wow.
Now, considering that you played in Ohio, played high school lacrosse in Ohio before the game kind of, you know, started expanding to the Midwest. Now, obviously, you have Ohio State playing. You have you at Cleveland State starting up a program. How much different is this lacrosse scene now in Ohio compared to back in the day when you played? Is it really taken off? As you said before, they're starting to sponsor it interscholastically. It's must be night and day. From when you played, I'm assuming.
Just the sheer number of kids that are exposed to the sport in the state is just so dramatically different. You know, there's high school programs that are very, you know, I should say relatively competitive that didn't even, they weren't even like a twinkle in the eye of other lacrosse fans here. I mean, so it has grown tremendously. You know, there's the Columbus area has always been strong. The Upper Arlington's of the world have been strong since the dawn of the time, right? But there are a lot of other programs now that compete at a high level, and it's exciting to see. You know, it really is. And for me, you know, that was another aspect of why I thought Cleveland State could be successful. You know, Ohio State is great. They're good at what they do. And they're going to get top-tier athletes out of Ohio. There's no question. But there's a lot of other athletes that maybe aren't quite up to what Ohio State is looking for that I still feel have a tremendously high ceiling that we can recruit. And we are recruiting. So it's a great niche for us. The Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Western PA, there's a ton of great kids that just need opportunity.
Yeah, just jumping off of that point, I know, like, before Cleveland State announced that they were going to have a D1 program, Ohio State was pretty much the only Division I team that had a lacrosse team in the state. And now you add, you know, Cleveland State, and, you know, it grows the sport in Northeast Ohio. I think the only, really the only high school that I've known that has a dominant lacrosse team in that state is Upper Arlington, as you said. So just with, since that announcement that Cleveland State would be getting a D1 program, and since even you coming into this foray, just talk about, you know, the growth overall in the area as people, like, with lacrosse fans and even, like, non-lacrosse fans just getting into the sport in general.
Right. Well, I think, you know, if the fall scrimmage that we had against Bellarmine here in Cleveland was any indication, there's a groundswell here in terms of interest and just excitement. You know, we think we probably had 1,500 people at our fall scrimmage, which is crazy. I don't think I've had 1,500 people at a scrimmage anywhere, including Denver. So, that, you know, some of it is lacrosse fans. Some of it is, you know, casual observers just trying to figure out what the heck these guys are doing out there on the field. And some of it is just sports fans in Cleveland that are looking for something to cheer for. So it's exciting. It really is. And, you know, the opportunities here at Cleveland State that I feel most passionate about are the ones, you know, in the city. We've got opportunities, whether it be with Ohio City Lacrosse, which is a kind of a U.S. lacrosse initiative, or, you know, we're actually working on a joint venture with the Urban Community School where we can introduce lacrosse as a sport at that school, which is a charter school here in Cleveland. There's just a lot of really cool opportunities for us to kind of grow the game in the community. And certainly we're going to try to grow it in the suburbs as well, but here in the city of Cleveland as well.
Yeah, I saw a great reaction from the student body. A lot of tickets were sold in anticipation for your season, so that's great to see. Just wondering, what made you get into coaching? I know you kind of started at Division II Pfeiffer and also Division III Lebanon Valley, but how did you – was that something you wanted to do when you were in school and undergrad, or is it something you kind of developed a little bit after you graduated?
No, that's a great question, and I have to credit the MCLA and the format of the MCLA for kind of giving me the inspiration to get into coaching. You know, I was playing Division III football, playing MCLA lacrosse, and you know, with the MCLA, it's, you know, for lack of a better expression, it's pay to play, but you also do more than just play. You know, you're a club president, you're a social chair, you're a treasurer, you work on alumni stuff, you create a board, you do all these things involved with a lacrosse organization or sports program that, you know, adults, quote unquote, would do as an MCLA player. And in doing those activities, I kind of fell in love with the process of building a program and kind of knew that coaching is what I wanted to get into. So, you know, just transitioned from player to whatever coaching opportunity was available to me. And then fortunately, you know, latched on at Pfeiffer at you know, pretty interesting time for them because they're in a rebuild mode. So I got to learn from that experience and just kind of continued on from there.
And then once you did get into coaching, you latched on to Denver and then eventually at Princeton before you landed the head gig at Cleveland State. So what was your time like at Denver and Princeton? And what did you soak up as kind of like a sponge absorbing what you learned under Bill Tierney and Chris Bates at Denver and Princeton, respectively?
You know, my time at those places, it was so, so incredible. And especially at Denver, you know, I just learned so much just by being around some of the best coaches in the game and some of the best players in the game and having the ability to recruit to a new and fresh kind of program where, you know, people are excited and The community was engaged. You know, for my first year there, I felt like I was, you know, just trying to keep my head above water in terms of the X's and O's that were going on around me, the level of play, the ball movement, just the fan support. It was all just kind of overwhelming in such a positive way. And then, you know, I got to settle in and really kind of start to understand what was going on. And, you know, by the time I was leaving there, I felt like I was able to have a little bit of impact and make a good contribution to the program in a positive way that I hope is still impacting them in a positive way. And then, you know, I got to go over to Princeton and be at a place that was so established. You know, it's just, they're night and day. It was a place that was trying to create a name for itself, and then a place that had maybe arguably the greatest name in the sport. And be a part of that community and the alumni base and the support and the amount of care and investment that people had in the program. I got to kind of see what that was like. And obviously Coach Bates is, you know, terrific offensive mind, just a great guy, and learned a lot from him. Certainly with Coach T and Brownie, it's like being around those guys is like being in a language immersion school. You know, it's just, you're just trying to figure out what the heck they're saying, and then, you know, piece together a little bit of the language, and then eventually you're speaking, you know, a little bit broken language, and then hopefully you're speaking fluently at some point. But I credit so much of what I've learned to those guys and Coach Hawes at LVC. And it's just, they've given me the tools I feel like I needed to take on this challenge. And, you know, hopefully I'd do those guys proud. Mm-hmm.
And just to follow up too, you know, Denver being the rising power that it was when you were there, all the way up to being now a national name, a national championship school, and then, as you said, an established program, Princeton, all those national titles that they've won. Does having the experience that, on one hand, a school that's in an emerging market, was just starting to build up, and then another one at, you know, a named school that's been around forever since the start of college lacrosse, even when Princeton played Harvard for the first national title, does those two experiences being in those two unique environments really help you out in starting a new program at Cleveland State?
Absolutely. I mean, we're modeling everything that we're doing from a programmatic standpoint. I can't say we're going to model the X's and O's off of Denver. We're not in that same category. But from a program standpoint, I'm trying to model this thing off of Denver to the best of my ability. And then when I look at what Princeton is and has, you know, has been for years, that's what we're aspiring to be from an investment. You know, I want these kids to feel like when they put on the jersey that the guy in front of them that wore that jersey, he gave everything he could give, and the guy in front of him. And so when these guys graduate, they have that same investment in the program, because the Princeton alumni base is like none you've ever seen before. So trying to create that same culture, but also from a program standpoint, it's still a lot of the values and kind of beliefs that we had at Denver. Certainly from a recruiting aspect, trying to recruit similarly, and I find it to be going pretty well at this point.
Now, from you being the assistant to you having assistants as a head coach, three great guys, I would say, and Andy German, Kyler Bordenlohr, the former Maryland goalie, and then the volunteer assistant, Gary Cintron. Just explain why you picked those three guys. And I know Andy German was a former, before you hired him, he was a head coach at St. Joseph's Prep in Philadelphia, our rival high school from LaSalle. I'm from the Philadelphia area, so he was a really good coach, and he led the Hawks to a state championship run, but they lost in the finals. But, you know, how did you get Andy to get out of the high school game after 1 year? I know you were coaching buddies with the Thailand team in the 2014 World Games, so be interested to hear about your decision over those three guys.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question. I mean, I owe so much to these guys and the work that they're putting in. And, you know, it's funny. It's funny how things work out. With Andy, he was clearly the number one guy for me. If I could go out and pick anyone, he was the guy. And I didn't think I'd be able to talk him out of leaving Philly, to be honest with you. But, you know, just like me and my wife and everybody that comes to this place, they see something special in it and they kind of get hooked on the potential. You know, Andy and I, so he has a brother that lives in Denver. So when I was at Denver as an assistant, you know, we ran essentially what were prospect days before prospect days became kind of like the big deal. Mm-hmm. And Andy would come out so he could see his brother and then work our prospect days and represent Villanova. And so he and I developed a relationship during the summertime and just kind of hung out. And every summer he'd come back and work the camp and see his brother. And we became great friends. And so when I had the opportunity to do the Thailand thing with the World Games, I was like, it's in Denver. Your brother's in Denver. Why don't you jump on and see, you know, see if you like coaching together, you know? So it went so, so well. So again, when I had the opportunity to look at assistants for this job, he was clearly the top choice. And I was fortunate that he and his wife saw the potential and moved out here to Cleveland. And, you know, certainly thankful that they're here. You know, Kyle was a no-brainer. If there was any potential to get Kyle to come in and join us, I was going to try to make it happen. And, you know, I met with him during the winter break of his senior year. And was like, you know, what are you, and we just met as, so Kyle and I went to the same high school. So I kind of veiled my, my hopes in him joining the staff and that, hey, listen, I'm an alum, you're an alum, we're in lacrosse, like, let's meet for lunch. And, you know, how can I help you after you're done with school? Kind of knowing in the back of my mind that I was going to try to persuade him to join us. And we went through it over winter break. We're like, yeah, let's stay in touch. And then over the course of his season, he was like, Coach, I'd be really interested in joining you guys. I'm a Cleveland guy as well. He's from Akron, but, you know, Northeast Ohio guy. And I believe in what you're trying to build. And I feel the same sense of pride that you do. And I'd love to be a part of it. So, you know, that was an easy one for us. I mean, he just brings such a great knowledge and way about him for a young guy for the goalie position. And he gives great input in the other aspects of the game as well. So he also bridges that gap in that he was playing. He was in these kids' shoes last year. So he really helps kind of bridge the gap from a communication standpoint. And then lastly, you know, Coach Cintron, what a terrific guy. You know, he's got a son that's a freshman at Lehigh. So he's kind of just gone through this recruiting process. And so he gives us some invaluable perspective on that side of it, being a parent. He's also got a freshman at St. Ignatius now that's about to go through this process. So he just gives us a completely different perspective. He's coached in the community here for, you know, 20 years and just kind of has a great reputation and just cares about the kids and cares about their development and cares about who they are off the field. And so he's been a terrific addition. And, you know, together it's like we kind of have this mix of experiences, Coach German at Villanova and St. Joe's Prep, you know, myself and obviously Coach Cintron, bringing more of an older, you know, parental perspective. And then Kyle with his kind of youth and energy and just kind of zest for the game. It's just, it's turned out to be a great chemistry. And the kids are, I think, really, really coachable. So, you know, it doesn't matter what your level of knowledge is. If the kids aren't listening, then you can't get through to them. But our kids have been extremely coachable.
Coach, I was wondering, what was the interview process like at Cleveland State? Was were they trying to sell the school board? Were you trying to sell yourself, or were they more trying to get you there? And could you just maybe describe what's been the most enjoyable part about starting a new program and the most trying or most difficult?
Sure. You know, I do know that there were several other Division I candidates. I felt like I had the inside track in some ways. Maybe I was less experienced than certainly some of the other candidates, but I was from here. And I think that was a positive, you know, from the CSU side, that I had a lot of connections in the community. I have a lot of former teammates and you know, friends that are coaching high school in the area. I get the area. I get the recruiting scene here. I think all that was, you know, advantageous for me. I think that they saw a guy who was really invested in building something here. So I think I had some advantages, but I went into it just trying to get the job. You know, I really wanted to be here. And I just see such a great potential, not now, but, you know, not only now, but also for the future, not only for CSU, but for the game of lacrosse in Northeast Ohio. So I just did everything I could. And I was fortunate that they, you know, they saw me as the right guy. The things that I really have enjoyed, you know, certainly just the ability to put, you know, our spin on things. You know, at the end of the day, it's my spin, but really I believe it's our spin, you know, as a staff, and certainly the kids have input. You know, they're, having never had a team here, we can do it our way. And I think that that's been enjoyable. And it doesn't necessarily make it the best way, but it's going to be our way, which I think is exciting. You know, some of the hard things is it's the flip side of the coin, you know, just having never had a team here, there's just things that are you take for granted at other programs that we have to explain and kind of work through, and it's all good. I mean, we have great support and really good people in supportive positions. It's just, it's a little bit more tedious in the sense that all of the things, all the little, you know, boxes need to be checked in terms of game operations and, you know, all these things that you just don't think about when you're coaching at a program that's existed already.
And as we turn to year one for the Vikings, when it comes to first year schedules, Cleveland State, I think you guys have put up a really ambitious schedule for a new program. Why did you choose to go in the challenging direction, playing a lot of big time schools like Duke and Denver, obviously Ohio State and State, Penn State and Virginia, just for instance, rather than some other programs who, you know, just kind of ease their way into it? Obviously, you know, there is some transitional games against schools like Baldwin Wallace and John Carroll. But otherwise, for, you know, for a first year program, there are a lot of heavy hitters on it. So just wanted to see how you felt about, you know, putting together a schedule like this to give a challenge for these guys in their first year at the program.
Right. You know, I wanted to set a tone. I wanted to set a tone internally. I wanted the people at Cleveland State to know that I think this thing could be very, very successful, and that I'm going to work really hard on behalf of Cleveland State to make it successful. And then externally, I wanted to set a tone in the lacrosse community that we want kids to come to Cleveland State because they want to compete at the highest level. If you're mildly interested in Division I and kind of like lacrosse, this isn't the place for you. If you want to come here and invest and really you know, give of yourself so that you can be a part of something special and compete at the highest level, then this could be the place for you. So it was really just sending a message. And you know, from my experience at Denver as well, you know, when Coach T took over, his motto was, we're going to play Syracuse in the dome to start the year every year. And our guys need to realize that that's the bar that we're setting for our program. And we got our teeth kicked in by Syracuse in the dome a few years in a row. And but it really did help kind of expedite the process from where Denver was to where it is now, because they got to see what it was like in the competition level and how you carry yourself when you're a name program like Syracuse. And, you know, what better way for us and our freshmen to learn than to go against the best? And, you know, by the time they're juniors and seniors, they won't be fazed by playing the Denvers and Dukes of the world, because we'll have played them, you know. So kind of a dive right in mentality, but I want our kids to have that mentality that they'll play anybody anytime. So why not now?
So from that, your goals for this season, this season, for the long term, and then especially the big day coming up on Saturday against Michigan, just talk about the the opponent in Michigan. It's fairly a younger team in its fifth year, but still a rising team as well, also in the Midwest. What do you guys expect to see out of Michigan? What do you expect to see from your team in general?
Sure. Well, you know, I should preface it by saying that I go back a ways with Coach Paul at Michigan. JP led a team that I was on as a player out to Japan in 2005, and he was the head coach. And so we're great friends, and I really do appreciate his friendship and appreciate the opportunity he's giving us to host our first game here in Cleveland against a program like Michigan. So I'm excited about it, and I think our kids are really excited about it, our fan base, our school, our department, you know, the city. Everybody's excited about it because, let's face it, people here in Cleveland know the Michigan brand. They might not know lacrosse, but they know the Michigan brand. So that's been a big piece, and I'm very thankful for that. What I expect from them, I expect they're going to play hard. You know, these guys, they have lofty goals. They're in the Big Ten, and they want to win the Big Ten, and they know that in order to do that, they're going to have to play really, really hard. So I expect them to come out and give us a really good fight, you know, from the jump. I expect them to have great athletes. You know, they're getting great recruiting classes. That's due to the staff's, you know, hard work on the road, but they're going to have some great athletes, you know that. And I also expect them to be going through a little bit of a turnover too, in that they graduated Kyle Jackson and Logan in the cage and Brad Lott at the faceoff X. So, you know, just like all of us at the beginning of the year, they're going to be working through some personnel and trying to figure out who they are. So I see that as a window of opportunity for us, that hopefully we can do some damage. More importantly than the score, I want us to play our game. I want us to go out and do the things that we've been practicing for the last few weeks and certainly in the fall, and just play good, solid lacrosse the way that, you know, we've taught them to play it. And if the results end up, you know, favorable for us, then awesome. If they don't, well, we're going to get back to work on Monday because we have Duke coming up on Saturday, and we're just going to keep moving forward. But I want our guys to play our game and just stick to Vikings lacrosse.
Actually have a submission from one of our contributors, Marissa. A question you had around recruiting. I know you were also, in addition to defensive coordinator at Princeton, you were also the recruiting coordinator. Marissa was wondering if you found it difficult trying to recruit top talent at Cleveland as opposed to, in a more of a hotbed in New Jersey. And do you find it easier competing with less schools in the Midwest? Or is that like a double-edged sword as, you know, there's, not as bountiful amount of lacrosse players as opposed to, you know, Maryland or New York or New Jersey?
Right. I think that's an outstanding question. And I would say that, again, I'm leaning more towards the model that I used as the recruiting coordinator at Denver. Princeton has its challenges. It really does. And it's kind of like be careful what you wish for, right? Like, they're in the conversation for every big name recruit out there. And that's an awesome thing, right? That's a really great thing. And that program has earned that right. And obviously, certainly the university's profile gets their name in every conversation. But it becomes very difficult because you're focusing on the same guys that all the other top programs are focusing on. So that becomes a challenge. Whereas at a place like Denver, certainly things have changed, you know, at Denver in the last 3 or 4 years. But and Cleveland State, where we are now, is we're not focusing on the same guys that the top 15 programs are focusing on. And when you get outside of that kind of narrow, you know, tunnel vision, there are a ton of really, really good lacrosse players, really good athletes, really good lacrosse players that, you know, have a great upside, a great ceiling, and you just have to coach them up and find if they fit for your system. And so there becomes a huge number of kids that you can recruit and be successful with. So I think it was a little bit challenging at Princeton in the sense that you're targeting some of the best. Certainly you want to go get the best, and then those guys are going to be impactful players because they're so talented. But I also think that at a place like Cleveland State, we can go off the beaten path and find some guys that maybe aren't as high profile but have similar upside and just need to work hard and get coached up and buy in, and we're going to have some success.
All right.
Well, I guess too, I'm trying to think about any other questions. I don't know if you guys do, but
I mean, yeah, I had one real quick.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you find the success at new programs, new fledgling programs like Marquette, MBU, did you kind of use that as inspiration, or are you find or like as a template, or are you trying to mold your own? I mean, you're obviously trying to mold your own identity, but have you found a more of an urgency seeing that some of these newer programs have gotten some success pretty quickly? Richmond is another example, or are you just like have your own your own things that you're trying to focus on at Cleveland State, and right, not so much about winning?
No, yeah, I think that's a great question. We're kind of trying to do us, you know. I have nothing but respect for Coach Amplo and Coach Chamati and Coach Poli up at BU. And you know, the list goes on in the last 10 years of startup Division I programs that have really come out and kind of made a statement. And we're certainly trying to make a statement as well. But our model is just so different than Marquette's model. And Marquette's model is so different than Richmond's model. And their model is different than Michigan's model. So it's kind of unfair to compare. It's like apples to oranges. But certainly we would love to have the success that those guys are having, and we're going to work really hard toward it. But the way we're building it is just very different. So, we're measuring success differently, and certainly wins and losses is one measuring stick, but there are so many others that we're using. So just trying to move forward and make sure that our guys are getting better every single day. And if we do that, I think, you know, ultimately the results will speak for themselves.
All right, we're going to lighten things up a little bit.
I have one more.
You go ahead.
Still going back, for, I think, one final question about the team. There's three non-freshmen on your inaugural roster. Not a lot of guys that maybe a lot of typical or casual lacrosse fans would know. Just give us some guys who we should keep an eye out for during this first season, even beyond when they're seniors in 3 years.
Right. All of these kids are going to take incredible leaps forward from an IQ standpoint, from a skill standpoint, even their physical development, just what I've seen in the weight room and on the field over the course of the first semester, their growth has been spectacular. But, you know, there's a few guys that stand out right away, and obviously we're going to count on them to help us be successful this season. And, you know, Paris Williams, he's a JUCO transfer from Howard County. He's our only transfer. You know, he's got a tremendous upside. He's a 6'5 kid he can really run and move well for a big kid. He's got a good stick. He's a guy that I could see becoming kind of a face of what we're doing, just from the standpoint that he's so likable, and he's a big kid, and he's just he's going to be making plays, and he's just really a great kid. So definitely looking for him to make a lot of plays for us. He's a little dinged up, but hoping that we get him back here soon. You know, Zach Whitenack is another kid who he was our first recruit here. He was my first recruit, and he's just been as good as advertised. I mean, he was a 2-time long stick midfielder of the year in Ohio. He was basically a straight A student and tested really well. And he could have gone into the honors program here at CSU and kind of elected not to, but just a terrific student athlete. And he's a guy that makes plays for us. I mean, just he's Division I ready. He's a good player. And, you know, we got a kid, Danny Tesler from Georgia, who was an All-American last year and probably the best face-off kid to come out of Georgia. And the face-off position takes time. You know, not everybody's Trevor Baptiste. And I saw a lot of similarities between Danny and Chase Carrero, and I'm hoping that he can continue to develop. And he's another kid who's a great student-athlete, multi-sport guy. And, you know, there's just a couple guys. I just think we're going to push to probably expect more out of them this year than is probably fair. But they're ready for it. They understand that. That's why they came here. They wanted that opportunity and that challenge. So I'm excited to see these guys develop and really just see the team kind of continue to take shape and watch leaders emerge and, you know, watch these guys start to take some ownership as they continue to invest in this thing.
And then just a follow-up question on that. Having a majority of the roster as freshmen in your first year and them being first-year players, how different is just talking and, like, just communicating with them on and off the field than, you know, when you were at Denver and you had a senior in Westburg, or when you were at Princeton, you had Kip Orban and Austin DeButts and experienced guys that have been around this program for a long time? Just how different and how special even is it just having these first-year guys knowing that this is the start of something special over in Northeast Ohio?
It's really cool. It really is. It's in some ways, it takes a little time to build up that kind of familial atmosphere. I want these guys to know that I'm here for them for more than lacrosse. I try to communicate that to them every day, and our staff does as well. Right now, I think they're just trying to keep their heads above water from a lacrosse standpoint. You know, it's just we're throwing a lot at them, and we have to because we're about to play some of the best teams in the country in a couple weeks, and they're going to need to be prepared. And it's just so much different than the high school lacrosse that they played, you know, last spring. So they're doing a great job. They really are, and I think that they realize the opportunity in front of them, and they're working hard at it, and they want to be successful. And they're doing all the other things. You know, that's what people don't get and what it's become very challenging from our standpoint because there's nobody to lead them from within the teams. They're doing all the other things so well, like better than we could have ever expected. Going to study hall, going to treatment, taking care of their bodies, being respectful of all the people that are kind of the team around our team. These are things that are usually taught to freshmen by seniors that we don't have the luxury of. And our kids are just really, really embracing that and doing a great job with it.
And I guess before we lighten it up, I know as a coach you take things week by week, but is there any part of the season you're really looking forward to, like a specific game, or are you just in it for the ride and, you know, just, you know, given that it's a new program, every week's the week you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, it really is week to week. I mean, for me, I'll be honest with you, it's drill to drill in practice at this point. These guys are getting better every single repetition, you know, so certainly not looking too far ahead, just focusing on, you know, tomorrow's practice and us getting better and hopefully stringing a bunch together. You know, inevitably we have bad ones. And I think for these guys, what I continue to communicate to them is that we have to eliminate the bad days and we can't have throwaway days. We're just not talented enough, not experienced enough. But if you're a kid on this team right now, you got to love the experience. The university is excited. They're supportive. We're going to some of the greatest lacrosse venues around the country. Peter Barton Stadium, you know, Klockner. We're going to the Shoe. It's such a cool experience, and I'm so excited for our guys to really just watch them learn and grow and come together as a team. So every single week, excited about it. Every single day, excited about it. Practice to practice, excited about it.
Yeah, like you said, obviously, like to have a little fun here at College Cross, and we're all big fans of food. What's the food scene like in Cleveland? Or about good places to eat, or like special dishes that you're known for in the city? I mean, obviously, cheesecake in Philly.
You're talking about one of the greatest food cities in the country, and maybe it's unknown, but it is an awesome food scene here. You know, the restaurant kind of bar. Craft beer scene reminds me very much of what it was like when I lived in Denver. But some really great, you know, Cleveland food that you probably don't know a ton about. You know, we've got pierogies. That's a big one. Pierogies are huge here in Cleveland. And, you know, there's a spot here in Tremont called Sokolowski's that it's like almost cafeteria style. And if you go there, you might as well call off work. You're going to need a nap. But it's so good. You know, sauerkraut's a big deal here. Kind of all the Slavic, like German type foods are a big deal. But there's a place over in Ohio City called Town Hall. And it's kind of like a progressive place that you can get, like, you know, gluten-free, all that good stuff. But it's delicious. You know, the Cavs, when the Indians were in the World Series, the Cavs went over to Town Hall and watched the games from there. It's just a good restaurant. Actually, right down the street from us on Euclid is East 4th Street, which is across the street from the Quicken Loans Arena. Just a series of bars and restaurants right next to the House of Blues that's walking distance here from CSU that, you know, are awesome. You know, you got Mabel's, which is a barbecue spot that, you know, Michael Simon, the chef from the Food Network, owns. You've got you got Butcher and Brew. You've got Greenhouse Tavern. These are all these great places, but you know, it really does remind me socially of Denver, and you know, it's just a great city. You see more and more people moving into the city because it's kind of going through a renaissance right now, which a lot of Midwestern cities are. So it's an exciting time to be in Cleveland.
Is there any spot in Cleveland in particular that you love? You know, not necessarily a restaurant or anything, but you know, is there any like, maybe not as tourist trappy thing like maybe the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that, you know, like a park or anything that, you know, you love to go to in the city?
Two places I'll throw at you. One, the Cleveland Museum of Art. You know, I've lived in LA, I've lived all over the country, and the Cleveland Museum of Art is, in my opinion, it's second to none. It's incredible. Anybody that visits Cleveland, that should be where you go. It's just, it's free and it is just absolutely mind blowing. And then two, I got to give a shout out to Coach Cintron, the Rocky River Brewing Company. You know, it's kind of a brewco restaurant, pub atmosphere, great sports place if you want to watch the game. It's in Rocky River, which is a suburb west of downtown. And Coach Cintron is one of the owners there. So we go there all the time, my wife and I, and it's delicious food, great atmosphere, and certainly lacrosse friendly.
Now, sports-wise, I believe you were in the area for when the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA Finals. And if you weren't, but you were probably definitely in there for the Indians' run at the World Series. Just how electric did the city feel having those two really, really good teams outside of that other team? Just being around the city during that those times.
Hey, that other team has the first pick in the draft, you know, so we got excited. No, it was unbelievable. And really, the timing couldn't be better. You know, it's we've got our first recruiting class. They're excited about Cleveland. Boom, Cavs win the championship. Awesome. Then you have the first recruiting class here on campus. Are they going to like it? Are they going to like the dorms, the school, the food, the social life? Boom, Indians go to the World Series, go deep into the playoffs, and the weather is absolutely gorgeous. And it's like the rest is history. You know, these kids have the time of their lives. They'd get off of practice. They'd walk two blocks to the viewing party and just enjoy the heck out of it. And it was just so fun. And hopefully the Indians can load up and do it again. It looks like we have a great roster coming back. And certainly the Cavs are going to be in the hunt in the East. And our Browns are going to get better because they can only get better.
Yeah. How much of a factor is it having like those two teams and especially a guy like LeBron James on probably one of the best NBA rosters right now? Just as a recruiting standpoint, you know, you have your city life, but you also have the Indians and the Cavaliers. So just how does it help getting recruits, and if it does at all?
It does. It really does. Well, first and foremost, right, those games are, you know, when you go deep in the playoffs in a professional sport like that, you're going to get a lot of exposure. And so for a mid-market city like ours, all of a sudden you get eyes on your city and they shine a light on your city like that you can't buy that kind of, you know, publicity. So, you know, kids see that, they get excited by it. They hear all the positive and great things that are going on here. And all of a sudden Cleveland State adds lacrosse and it's like, whoa, I'll take a look at that. And just making it, you know, it gets us in the conversation, you know, opens some doors for us. And so it's been great. Timing couldn't be better. And, you know, as long as we got LeBron, we're going to be in the conversation.
As two Eagles fans, me and Chris, glad to help the Browns in the rebuilding process with our number one pick this year. So,
Well, yeah, I got to battle that with Coach German all the time. You know, he's a funny guy through and through, and certainly we've got some Philly kids on the team. So, you know, I feel your pain.
Well, anything else that you wanted to bring up before we wrap up?
I have one final question for Coach Sheridan. 10 years, when you're looking in the future and you see what you've done starting up this program, how do you want to be seen?
That's a great one. You know, again, I try to prevent myself from thinking that way. You know, I try to just focus on making sure that our guys are taken care of the way that they deserve to be taken care of, that our program is operating at a high level. You know, the play we'll end up playing at a high level if we do all the other things. And so I guess in 10 years, what I'm hoping is that you can look back and say that this staff and these players laid the groundwork for a program that is, you know, in the mix nationally, not just another program kind of mired in mediocrity that is kind of an afterthought, but a program that kids are excited by and about, a university that's kind of become fallen in love with lacrosse, and a community that's fallen in love with lacrosse, having a young alumni base that stays in the city and gives back to the game at the youth middle school and high school levels. You know, there's just a lot of different areas I would love to see our program kind of help give back to the game. And we're not at that point now, but we will be 10 years from now. And it's my hope that the kids that have gone through this program have had such a great experience and have such a rewarding experience that they feel the need to give back and want to give back, and that we're helping the Cleveland lacrosse community grow.
Awesome.
Safe, any last questions? Or
no, Coach, I mean, you're so generous with your time. We really appreciate this. This was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
I'd love to know what you guys are most excited about. 2017 season's finally here. You've been waiting all year. What are you guys most excited about?
Well, I'm Chris Cooper's.
I'm not going to be – I'm going to be honest with you. I think just having a new team enter any year, it's just always exciting to see, like, ooh, a new team. Let's see how they do, and let's see, like, let's grow up with this team. Because I know, like, when I was a senior at LaSalle, we had, I believe, Boston University and Richmond and entering Division I, and both of those teams have grown immensely in those 4 years. And look at them now. Richmond's in the top 20. They've been to the SoCon championship game for, I think, every year that they've been in existence. BU is a growing team. They've reached the top 20 a few times. So, you know, just seeing this, the babies of Cleveland State and being able to watch them grow up, I think it's really something special, to be quite honest with you.
Awesome.
I think I'm looking forward to this season is just, you know, we keep on talking about parity, and yeah, you know, the same schools, you know, we've kind of replaced the Hopkins, Syracuse, Princeton, Virginia order up with Duke, Denver, Notre Dame, Maryland. But I think, you know, it's going to be a very competitive season. I think there's a lot of even strength going up and down the polls. And I think it's going to be a little bit more wide open. You're going to see the bubble races are going to be a lot more exciting this year. It's, you know, each year the bubble seems to grow larger and larger. And, you know, I don't think there's going to be a clear-cut number one heading into this season. You know, at the beginning of the season we thought about Denver, but then, you know, they've had some injuries during the offseason. And then you have UNC. Can they repeat? Maryland, can they finally get past, you know, their 40 years of championship drought. There's a lot of good storylines, and it's going to be very interesting to see because it's not one far and away great team this year that I think, you know, we're going to have a fun, messy but fun year, I think, up ahead in the whole landscape of college lacrosse, and kind of an any given Saturday mentality where, you know, any team can pull off that big victory on any given day.
That's great. Yeah, I think the messiness is probably the most exciting piece of where we're at with the sport right now. This parody is just, it makes every week so entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just to tee off on Ryan's point, I just feel like every year there's just more and more high school seniors, and there's Division I is growing, but, you know, kind of incrementally. So the gap between, you know, the haves and the have nots shrinks, you know, every year. And so, like, you see, like, teams like Quinnipiac have, like, a best season in 15 years, Rutgers. Comes kind of out of nowhere to have a really good season. All these new programs like BU, Marquette, Richmond have kind of success rather quickly. There was a great Marquette documentary that was just out that discussed their transition and how they've come so far in such a short period of time. So it's so exciting that it's, you know, I went to Hopkins and I love the Jays, but it's also great to see just teams that you kind of didn't really think about before, like 5-10 years ago, all of a sudden, you know, or playing really close games. BU taking down Navy last year in double overtime was like a really great moment for the program. Shout out to our friend Marissa. She's a BU girl. But it just exactly. This is an exciting time to be a lacrosse fan. And while we love to see the game grow and go to, you know, many more schools, I think we should all just enjoy the moment and, like, not lose sight of, like, you know, we're having really great games now, and you're having kids that like transcendently talented kids on programs you may not have been on before, like a Pat Spencer, and before he got hurt, Adam Chalambrides at Rutgers. So this is a really exciting time for lacrosse, and, like, I think sometimes we're fans and media and people in lacrosse kind of worried about, like, you know, what's next instead of kind of just enjoying the moment and each season in its own. So I'm just really excited just for the season to start and just for the games to begin.
That's awesome. I think that's, you couldn't have said it better.
Well, thanks, Coach, for joining us. We wish you and the Cleveland State Vikings all the success in the world this year. It's going to be very exciting to see you guys grow this program, and it's definitely going to be something that we really look forward to. We wish you guys the best of luck and a successful season and helping get this program on the road.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, guys. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. Thank you for joining us.
And shout out to Spencer for helping us put this together. He was it was great. This is fantastic, Coach. Thanks again.
Awesome, guys. You have a great night.
Yep, you too. Thank you.
Take care.
Once again, we'd like to thank Coach Sheridan for spending his time with us. It was a fantastic conversation to learn a little bit of the insights of being a D1 head coach, as well as starting a new program there at Cleveland State. Once again, the Vikings will play the Michigan Wolverines in their opening game this Saturday at home at Cleveland State. For College Cross, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at RyanMcD29. At SexyTimeLax is the main account. And you could also follow Chris at CFJASTRZEMBSKI. I am not pronouncing that, only he could pronounce that. As well as Safe at @Ari_Barrister. As always, you can check out collegecross.com. We've got all your latest news and insight into college lacrosse on that awesome blog that we work on. Additionally, you could subscribe to College Crosscast on both iTunes and Google Play, so you can listen to the Crosscast as soon as it drops every time. And we will be back with the Crosscast later on this week for part 3 of our season preview. We will tackle some of the big guns with the Big East, Big Ten, and ACC. We will cover the Ivy League next week, as it's going to be a little bit closer to when they start. But otherwise, we'll be covering the Big Three, or three of the Big Four. We'll also be previewing this weekend's slate of games, including the aforementioned Cleveland State-Michigan game on Saturday, as well as a very tasty early season matchup between Duke and Air Force, as well as a Baltimore-Annapolis brawl between Navy and Johns Hopkins on Tuesday. Otherwise, we will be back to our regular schedule with that. We hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we thank you for listening. Hope to have you around later on in the week for that podcast. And as always, stay hydrated.